Hey, everybody, this is Dominique. And if you're ready to do more with your life and money, I want you to stay tuned. Today, I have a very special treat for you, a mastermind discussion with two friends of mine, Jason Fields and Brandon Williams, both previous guests of the podcast. We are going to discuss financial literacy, a blueprint for 2018 and beyond. Stay tuned.
Are you tired of feeling like there's more to life that you're just not experiencing? Are you unmotivated by keeping up with the status quo? Are you ready to start living intentionally with your finances and creating the life you want? Get ready for Experiencing Financial Contentment with Dominique Henderson, a podcast focused on helping you create margin for the life you want to live by putting your money where your heart is. Each week, Dominique will help you explore the decisions you make around money so that you can achieve better results. Now, here's your host, Dominique Henderson.
So as I alluded to, we have a very, very special podcast today. So I am Dominique Henderson, host of Experiencing Financial Contentment and owner of DJH Capital Management, where we are helping our clients achieve their ideal financial outcome. And I always like to say that financial contentment is what we talk about on this podcast. And this is for people that are tired of the rat race. They are ready to get off the treadmill and they are ready to take the red pill to leave the matrix of the average and start being very intentional about their finances. And so today, a mastermind discussion. Basically, with the technology and the advancement of technology, I was able to get two friends of mine on the podcast through Zoom, and we had a discussion about financial literacy and some of the maybe more crucial topics, especially in the African-American community. But I think there's wide-reaching implications for the economy and the society as a whole. So stay tuned. We're going to bring that to you right now. All right. Take care. Well, I want to welcome everybody to the Experiencing Financial Contentment podcast. This is your host, Dominique Henderson. I got two very special guests with me today, Mr. Brandon Williams, former NFL star, and Mr. Jason Fields, representative for Wisconsin. How y'all doing this morning?
Good. What's happening, man?
Doing good, brother.
Man, I've had you guys on previous podcasts before we did the rebrand on the Financial Literacy Bootcamp. And the conversation was so stimulating. I was like, I got to have them back. And how can we do this together? Kind of like a mastermind and maybe go deeper into some of the discussions that we had before. And so I just really appreciate you guys taking the time out to spend some time with the audience today.
Thanks for having us, man.
Well, cool. I said a financial literacy mastermind, a blueprint for 2018 and beyond, because if I'm thinking about as a practitioner, and Brandon, you have your background, which I'll let you do that. And then Jason, you have your background, but we've all kind of centered around this financial literacy, which we know is a necessary tool for building wealth, but I don't think it's still being widespread taught. And I don't know, Brandon, what are some of your thoughts about that? Cause you've been in the athletic world and came out. What are some of the obstacles that you see?
Well, the first thing that I want to say is that I've totally seen a paradigm shift from an athletic standpoint. You know, now you look at NBA, NFL, a lot of the stories is talking about athletes who have invested in real estate. You have a lot of NBA guys in startups and tech funds and NFL guys who are creating their own venture capital funds. And that just was not heard of 10 years ago. The guys weren't doing that. You had mostly retired guys who would be the focused on going out to Silicon Valley, connecting with VCs, maybe going out to New York and really connecting with different incubator spaces or whatnot. But now it's starting to become common practice where professional athletes at college rankings, and they're looking at entrepreneurship and financial literacy as a part of how they want to build a legacy. And so I'm excited about that paradigm shift. But the issue that I'm seeing really is that we can start earlier. Mm. We can start giving financial literacy content, I would say at 10. I say 10 to 10-year veteran is when you really, is the window where we can start you know, introducing some of this content, yeah. because all it is it's simple principles and simple practices that if you learn it at an earlier age, you'll be able to leave the base, the rudiments of what it is and start to expand on it. And your mind just starts to take over and it just continues to grow and grow from there. So one of the issues, like I said, that I've seen is that, you know, financial literacy is not being number one taught in the home because that's your first school is in the home. And then number two, we're not actually integrating any curriculum into sports programs to help and even into school. And I know, you know, we are at the stage now where we've finally passed that the bill in Wisconsin where, you know, K through 12 has the mandatory financial literacy piece. And my brother Jason has been a workman, has been doing layman's work for 10, 15 years trying to get this passed. And
one of the
finally got it passed. Yeah. Absolutely. Right. And we appreciate him big time. And I'm just blessed to have been a part of it in my small capacity. But that's kind of, you know, what I'm seeing is the real issue. The content is there. The information is there.
And I would say even further, not just the knowledge out there, because you can Google just about anything now.
Yeah.
Integrated knowledge. How do you incorporate that into what you're doing? So you guys, Jason, becoming the 17th state out of 50. Man, talk about that for a bit, because you got the side of statesmen that, you know, actually ground floor, grassroots, talking to people about what this bill means and then getting it passed. Talk about that a little bit.
I mean, and I think thank you to for hosting this, man. I mean, I appreciate you brothers both. And thanks, Brandon, because Brandon was there. In fact, I you know, and I'm not blowing smoke, but I think Brandon was one of the main attractions for people in my body, in my line of work, to see, hey, a young African-American former athlete come to the state capitol and testify about why this is vitally important. And to the three of us, it's common sense, right? I mean, it's sort of bittersweet, and meaning, you know, on one hand, I'm happy we got it done. But on the other hand, I'm sitting here like this took that long, you know, I mean, to talk about financial literacy when it'll touch every aspect of our lives. And so when we look at our communities, and which was one of the reasons why I did it, I mean, we need to make sure we get over the hump, the fear. And like Brandon said, it's even biblical. And the three of us being men of God understand that, you know, good stewardship and good financial decision-making abilities, that's biblical. And so what are we talking about if we're not empowering our community to do those kinds of things? And so finally, after 10 something years, we finally got it done. And I agree, there is much more of a movement towards it, but we still got a long way to go. And I think the three of us, we all know. I mean, for example, I put out there, I'm going to do an investment club. Get your community, come. I'll teach you all how to do an investment club. Yeah. I'm going to charge $25. That's just for the material.
Yeah.
I might get 1-2 registered people to sign up for.
Yeah.
But yet we all know how vitally important it is. And so we still got a lot of work to do to say, listen, this is something you shouldn't be afraid of. You shouldn't be scared. You shouldn't be timid about it, because in the long run, it doesn't just help you. It helps our community as a whole. And so to finally get it in a point where now young kids will learn, I couldn't be more happier, man. It's one of the greatest achievements of my life.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. I would want both of you guys' opinion. So let's talk about the ideal, because we're talking about 2018 and beyond, what we can work towards, the ideal experience from escaping the fact that I am, let's call it, financially illiterate or not up to par, to wealth creation, economic empowerment on the other end, arrive at that. Like, what is, obviously, I think Brandon made a good point. It needs to start early, right? Like how early? K through 12, I think is key, because if you're getting it drilled in every day while kids at school 7-8 hours a day, that's a great thing. What would you say maybe the next step could be during along that path of experience to get them to, and tie financial literacy or illiteracy to economic empowerment?
Well, when you look at it, I think you have to tie the financial literacy component to some type of either entrepreneurial and workforce development component. So if I'm learning financial literacy now, just like you said, D, how do I apply? Because the knowledge without the action is pretty, knowledge is dead without action, right? You got to take action to and understand what you have, because that's how you gain the wisdom, right? So if you're taking action with your information, now you actually able to use it and apply it correctly. Now that's wisdom. Yeah, you've discerned wisdom. So I think you have to tie it to something entrepreneurial or something in the workforce development space, because a lot of the issues in a lot of communities across this country are not social issues. They're economic development issues, but the media and everybody will tell you, oh, it's a social issue. We don't have enough programs to help the community. No, you don't have enough jobs. It's not enough money circulating in these communities. It's not enough opportunities in these communities. And so that's where I think it the next step. So you have the bill passed. We'll be bringing in financial literacy advocates, financial literacy experts to come in and help mentor teachers so that they hopefully can mentor the students to learn the financial literacy piece. But now you have to tie it to the big picture of entrepreneurship. How does it fit in entrepreneurship, and how does it fit in workforce development, whether that's in the financial space, in the banking space? Every company has a CFO, so every company has its profit loss statements and all these different types of things that are related to the financial space. So how do you take that knowledge and information and apply it to where they actually get in checks? They actually making money. And so I look at that and say, just like in any other industry, just like in life, when you learn this financial, you have this financial information, you can go so many different directions. Right, yeah. And you can get distracted by all these different directions that you can go. So I say, hey, take one lane and start to really master it. If that's real estate, master how does financial literacy apply to a real estate entrepreneur, a real estate investor, a real estate developer, builder. And I think I told you, I may have told you this on the last show, Dominique, but one of my buddies who I grew up with knowing since I was 6 years old, he started off with a carpet cleaning business. He cleaned carpets and houses for about 8 years.
Okay.
Now he has his own development company, real estate. He builds homes. And one of the things he told me was that, B, I have been looking at designs of homes for 10 years while I was cleaning carpets. I wasn't just cleaning carpets. Yeah. I was actually looking at, well, how does this wall, how does this fit? What is this layout in this beautiful home? And he's now I apply that to everything I do from my development company side, my construction development company. And it's worked for me. So how do we take one area of knowledge or skill and apply that to the bigger picture? Because now I don't know too many brothers that have their own real estate development company. He's built five homes in the last year.
You got a lot of meat in there. But see, it's some things there that you talked about that I want to bring out, because first of all, that path, I think we have to do more of the each one reach one. Like if we can get more people coming back, like you guys, back into the community to say, hey, this is how it should go. Look at my life. Look at the mistakes I've made. Look at what, you know, the success that I'm now having. It is attributed to me taking an interest in myself, personal development, financial literacy, and that's how I'm being economically empowered. And then with your friend, that's a good example, beautiful example of how he's, you know, somebody might go cleaning carpet. I don't want to clean, but he's taken, you know, something that would have been grunt work and basically let it pay dividends for him, because he saw way beyond cleaning carpets. And I think that's another thing, because, you know, I think we live in somewhat of a instant gratification society because of social media and all that kind of stuff like that. And moving towards a very intentional goal that may be hard for you. Sometime that disconnect there, and that may be an obstacle in that path. What would you say about that, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, I think Brandon hit it right on the nail right on the head. I mean, I think once you learn the basic knowledge of it, and it can be applied in workforce development. For example, here in the city of Milwaukee, we're looking at one of my foundations. My foundation is looking at creating an entry level into the financial services arena kind of curriculum.
Okay.
And I think the beauty of it is when people like me, you and Brandon, we put our lives on display to show people, listen, this is what's happening with us. It's not coming from a braggadocious kind of a place, but look at what happens when you learn financial literacy. You move from just being a consumer to ownership. And I think that's one of the things that we have to look at. How do we become owners? How do we begin to have the mindset of circulating our dollar more than one time? When you look at the Jewish community, how many times does the dollar circulate? Yeah. And I agree with Brandon. We have too many, and I'm very critical, we have so many organizations, nonprofit organizations, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But we spend so much time telling people what not to do that rarely do we see people laying out a pathway to success. And so, and I know you guys and your wives and how we're all, you know, it's a business relationship. We're not just married. My wife is probably like both of y'all, just is the chief financial officer of the house.
Queen.
Oh, yes, sir. Budgetista.
Right. So we're the CEOs, but they the CFOs.
Yeah.
When we teach other young brothers, listen, there is a method to this. There's a method to when you understand finances, how it affects your personal life, how it affects your business life, how it affects you thinking about making decisions in both of those areas, even your career. We don't just empower you to be independent and free. We empower you to give back to your community. And so one of the things me and my wife were doing, we were laying in bed just talking, looking at acquiring some real estate and developing an overall portfolio. Yes, we have stocks. Yes, we have, we're cleaned up our credit. So all these things and this knowledge now begins to put us in a position where when we look back at our community, we can help our community. How are we going to set up our systems, for example, our businesses? Are we looking at bringing in young African-American men to internship with them? Will we pay them a little bit so that they can begin to become entrepreneurs and visionaries? And so when we apply it, then we begin to move our community as a whole. And so this is just the first step. But the beauty of it is we got to start having more conversations like this with each other. I mean, think about it. In all my days, man, I'm 43. I am just now being on a panel discussion with brothers across the country talking about this.
And
thank you, Nick. Thank you, D, because it wasn't too long ago where we didn't have this kind of, we weren't having these kind of conversations, man, to where we could broadcast this to the masses and show here are three brothers who are financially literate, who want to give back to the community to show you, not that we've achieved some great status, but we want to show you what we're doing and how you can do the same thing.
Yeah. And I think what needs to happen is, you know, speaking from a practitioner standpoint, you know, I talk to a lot of individuals that are looking to consume financial services. And I don't blame them, but there has been a gross miseducation of what financial
services is. Yes, it has.
And I think, you know, people like the CFP board, FPA, things like that, they're giving back in a way. And this is, I think, along that path of getting people to economic empowerment and giving them tools. Like recently, the CFP designation and the CFA designation were two requirements that the NFLPA is now requiring in their financial advisor program. So I think you got to see large professional trade organizations come in too, along with individuals like us that have stature in the community. Because, you know, some people are going to see a big trade organization and go,
When
they see an actual face, they're going to go, okay, let me see into that. So I think everybody has to get into it. And Jason, you said something earlier that I wanted to unpack a little bit when you said, you know, how businesses look at you and how, you know, how you're viewed. And I think that's a big thing. Sometimes I've talked to people and they don't really care how they're viewed, especially in our community. You're like, I don't care what people think about me. But you've got to really, really watch the personal brand you're building.
You do.
Whenever, even if you're not an entrepreneur, even if you're just going into a 9-to-5, you got to watch the personal brand you're building. What would you guys say about that?
I mean, I think it's a credibility point of view. And two, I think, you know, us being, again, followers of Christ, there is a responsibility that we have to be a reflection of what I think God wants us to reflect, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, when I'm walking down the street and I see young boys or young men on a corner or somewhere on a school hall front door, I got to make sure, you know, I'm opening up the door for my wife, not just because that's something I should do, but I want to leave a good impression that wherever I go, you know, that's a classy dude.
Yeah.
That's a God-fearing. I want that image to reflect, because there's responsibility and power when people can see you and go, you know what? I want to emulate that. I don't think we do it for, again, for braggadocious reasons, but as a person of God, I believe that we have to, and as a leader, whether we want to call ourselves that or not, we have the sometimes fair, sometimes unfair responsibility of being an example, whether we ask for it or not. And a lot of that comes down with credibility and our image. Yeah. No, if you don't take yourself serious, and I know we all talk to young boys and young women, if you don't take yourself serious, why would anybody else?
Yeah,
that's the message we got to continue to push.
What would you say? Because you've had that time in a very recognized sport where people were looking up to you, like as a role model, whether you wanted that or not. And I know you didn't do the Charles Barkley route. Like, I'm not a role model.
No, I mean, I'm the oldest child, and so I've always been in that mentor role, been in that role where I've been somebody who's been influential. But Jason just hit on a lot of great points, man. But we are in this world, but we are not of this world, right? Sure. So when you're doing and living with integrity and character and living a kingdom life, you're different. You're seen as different, and that's okay, because you're setting the stage and setting the example, but you're leading with your life.
Right.
Your life is the constant resume of you know, who you are and how you lead. And I always say, there is no private life. Character is about publicity. You have to be public. My character, who I am in my house, is the same person that I want to infuse when I walk out the door. So I don't have a private life, because you touched on some, that all three of us have in common, and it's that we have a family.
Yeah.
And family is the microcosm of society. And when we have society that's, having all these sexual allegations, murders, and all these different types of things that happen in our society, those are microcosms of what is happening in families. And when you don't have families, you see what happens. Mm-hmm. And so the importance of teaching that family is the first business. Family is really where you're supposed to be at to build those leadership characteristics, because our families are a little mini society. Right. So we all have, we teaching our kids and our wife and everything that we're supposed to be doing within our little society at home. And that's really important. And my man Damon John always says that your brand is your business, period. And when you, like you said, when you don't value yourself, you don't value what other people think about you. You don't, it's not that you value what they think about you, but you do value how you present yourself,
right,
how you come across, how you speak, how knowledgeable you are, but you don't validate who you are based on those things, but you value that you are coming across as somebody who understands what they're doing. Yeah. You know, one of the things that I have struggled with my whole post NFL career has been identity. And how do I self-identify? Is it Brandon Williams, the NFL player or the former NFL player? Or is it Brandon Williams, the loving, caring, sharing, servant of the universe, and everything I give out, I receive back? You know, one of the most, the biggest aha moments that I had recently was that I was at a conference and I was walking around, and it was a guy that recognized me, and he said, "Oh man, you're that guy who is doing a lot of speaking around Madison. You've been doing a lot of interviews and on magazines and stuff like that in Madison, Wisconsin." And for the first time in my life, somebody did not recognize me for playing football or being a broadcaster. That's a huge shift in self-identity for me, because I've always been identified as a football player. And it's not a bad label, but that's not who I am. That's what I did.
Yeah.
That's what I do, right? And so being able to be identified and having that self-awareness and understanding, like, this guy sees you in a different light, lets you know that you're walking in your purpose.
Yeah.
And just, you know, being able to teach the youth and young people values. What do you value in life? So do you value health? Do you value making money? Value wealth? Do you value family? Well, if you value those things, then there's a way you have to live. And there's certain things that you'll do to keep those values intact. Yeah. But it's too many people walking around with no values. They don't care about anything at all.
And so I want to. So you just gave it a segue for how we can end this, because I know you guys are busy and we gotta move. But so financial literacy, a mastermind discussion, a blueprint for 2018 and beyond. You said something just now, Brandon, that I want to get you guys' parting thoughts on this. So I always tell my clients that your financial results or results in life, period, are the results emanate from decisions and behaviors that you choose to do. And those decisions and behaviors come from a belief system, which are based off of experiences. And so you can basically, you know, channel the trajectory of your life by looking at your belief system and evaluating whether or not the things that you are choosing to do are going to move you forward, whether they're true, whether they are filled with integrity, like some of the things that Brandon says. So in this whole financial literacy discussion, Brandon just said something about being and not being identified as something that he did. And so I want you guys' parting thoughts on that doing versus being, because at the end of the day, doesn't everybody just want to do meaningful work and make a difference? I think most people could resonate with that. And so maybe explain how financial literacy can help you be that being person, that human being versus human doing. Right? Because people chase the dollars, they chase the economics, but at the end of the day, isn't it about something much more deeper?
Yeah, no, it really is, man. And I think everything that you're talking about is tied to purpose.
Yeah.
Because if you're living on purpose with a purpose, you understand that you have a solution to the world's problem. Whatever that problem is, you have that solution that God gifted you to give to the world. And it's not tied to a dollar amount. Like, God didn't say everybody can only make $10 million in your lifetime. There is no cap.
Yeah.
But the cap and the caveat is when you segment yourself into what you do, you create a cap.
Mm.
But when you live on who I am, and who God has created me to be and my purpose, I'm being me. Right. And there's no limit to what you can do, because being you is so deep. Mm. One of the most innovative things in the world is the evolution of people. Like, we are this human person who has changed. So most people change every month, every year, right? We can change so much for the positive and do so many different things. That's innovation. Yeah. It's not just creating technology and creating. Look, I can do things with the tree. I can create things with the tree. Yeah. A tree can't create nothing with me.
Yeah.
Right.
But I'm innovative enough to be able to take the things that are already here on this planet and create things, and then change my belief systems, evolve my belief systems to be able to say, this is what it is. But once I find that purpose, things they change, man, because we make decisions. Most people make decisions based off fear of success, fear of pain, whatever that fear is, fear of failure. We all make those decisions based off of fear, and it's fear of somebody else judging us. But once we step outside of that fear and understand, like, who made you like that? Who told you to do that? Who told you to have that fear? And we realize it's a self-taught thing that we just, or it's been passed down from generation to generation to have this fear. Once we really, you know, that Bible is a manual. It's not, to me, and you guys may not agree with, but it's not a religious book to me.
Right.
It's a book about a king and how his kingdom should be ran.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with religion. And so once you understand that that book is a manual, with every product we buy, what do we get?
A manual.
We get a manual. Most of the time, we don't read that manual, though. 9 times out of 10.
That.
Right. We don't read that manual, but that manual tells you every single thing that you could possibly do with this product. because it's coming from the manufacturer, the maker's mind. It's all about the maker's mind and what they want this product to look like. But if we never read the manual, we never get the discernment to understand of what we were made to do.
Yeah,
and right. So that's my feeling about, you know, living in the doing versus living in the being. Just be you and find your purpose, and then you'll be able to focus and go forward.
Okay. So Jason, come on, you get the. So
yeah, man. I mean, I agree with everything B said. I mean, and I think for me, it starts out with, you know, one, my mother said to me, she said, Jason, I don't care about how much money or how monetarily successful you get. What will impress me is when I meet people, they say, because of your son, my life is better this way or that way.
Yeah.
And it stuck with me, man, because it moved me, even on times where I forgot that, it brought me back to, again, walking in my purpose. You know, there's a saying that says there are two ways to be rich. One is to be, to have everything you want, the other is to be satisfied with what you got. Mm-hmm. And so spiritually, we have to be in a place where if it all ended today, would I be satisfied with the gifts that God gave me? That's his gifts. And I agree with Brandon. Like Brandon said, and I said this ironically, I said this on my radio show 2 days ago, or Monday, in fact, that the gifts God gives, that those gifts that God gives us, the knowledge, the discernment, those are his gifts to us. What we do with those gifts are our gifts to him. And so the reciprocity for me is, are we living into our purpose? Yeah. Meaning when I die, man, what will people say about Jason Field? If they're not saying this dude helped me in my time of need, not that he necessarily gave me something monetarily, but he gave me hope. He gave me knowledge. He gave me his time. And so that's who I am. That's who we strive to be. A person that when you look at that person, this person gave you hope or motivation that you can be better than what you are each and every day. And so, because I got caught up in that, to be honest with you, I got caught up in, I'm State Representative Jason Field. And I'll tell you, it took a dark turn, man. I mean, it really took a dark turn because I lost sight of who I was. It got confused with what I do.
Yeah.
And once you cross that line, man, it is a long road back. Because you forget, you get caught up in it. And so who I am is, number one, a child of God.
Yeah.
And with that emotional thinking comes, I'm more than a conqueror. I can accomplish anything that God says I can do, provided that my foundation is tied to him. And once that's the case, then for me to pass on that knowledge or that capability, that belief system, that emotional intelligence, that when you tie into God, you are more than what you think you are. And you can leave other people with that motivation. And for us, it's around financial literacy.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm a businessman. I'm a capitalist. I'm a Christian capitalist. But at the same time, I'm a capitalist. I don't think God sent any of us here to be broke, busted, and disgusted.
No.
That goes against everything that he is.
Yeah.
And so when we look at, well, what are we embodying that we can leave on? It's the ability to be his children, his child, and to show you what that looks like.
Yeah.
This is what being a child of God looks like. And if I can leave you with that, then I've done what he asked me to do.
And that, I mean, I think that's a great way to put a bow on it, because after you leave being financially illiterate, and you get the economic empowerment, wealth building, and financial literacy, there's going to be a great purpose on your life to you know, what are you going to do with that bag of gifts, you know, that status, that influence that you have, and how are you going to affect people going forward? And you definitely can't be caught up in doing versus being who you're meant to be. So I think that's a great segue. Guys, thank you for joining.
Thanks, man.
This morning, man, this has been great. We're gonna have to come back. There was so much in.
Look,
but I feel you didn't leave anything on the table, so I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Good stuff, guys. We'll talk to you later. All right.
All right, brother.
All right.
Have a good one, guys.
So there you have it. Hopefully you enjoyed it. It was a very, very fun interview, and these guys are just, you know, doing their thing. You know, Brandon's transition phenomenally out of the NFL into a speaking career, broadcasting career, and things like that. And obviously Jason Fields has co-authored history. I mean, the state of Wisconsin becoming, you know, one of 50 states now. I think it's 17 of 50 states that offers financial literacy in the school system K through 12. So he co-authored that bill as the state representative. And so these are huge things. And so these guys obviously have financial literacy as a passion, and they're living out this in their lives as an example. So let me hear from you. Hopefully you like this. We want to have them back. We want to have more guests like that on the podcast, just because I think it's good to switch it up every once in a while and insert into the ether, into the universe, if you will, some new thought, a new discussion, a new spin, some more perspective, so we can continue to grow with one another and learn from one another. So thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. We'll see you back next time. Take care. Bye-bye.